back in the house of the Lord again tonight. And as of now, it seems like September 11th has passed without any tragedies happening as far as major tragedies in the world because of the anniversary of September the 11th. But I appreciate God's protecting hand. And I believe really America only stands today because of that protecting hand. And it's the mercies of God, and I believe it's the prayers of the saints that protect us. And amen, I want to keep looking to God, amen, for His help and His strength. In this last day, I don't know what tomorrow holds. We might wake up tomorrow to a whole new America. But one thing we can be for sure, we won't wake up to a different God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And when America loses its freedom, He'll still be God. Amen. And we can have comfort in that. Amen. They're still getting together back there. Tonight, it's dangerous to put your notes on one sheet of paper and then stick it in a Bible that has 1,000 and some pages in it. Okay. And so, it looks like they're lost. And so that's probably a good thing, because the last time I preached this message, I preached, and it was well over an hour with my notes. And I told the pastor, you know, I hated going so long. He said, yeah. He said, I loved your train of thought, but he said, I sure was glad when the caboose showed up. But, amen. So anyway, Sister Margaret timed me tonight, and we'll see how long go without him.
How do you sing after that? I love the Lord, and I'm so thankful for His goodness. And I know this is an old song, and I've sung it tons of times. But, you know, God's been good. And I was sitting there thinking today when we came in through the doors. I said, you know, I sure remember some really good services here. And, you know, Massanova, I don't know if you realize what you've got. But keep it, because this is the only church that I've ever been in that I've experienced some of the deepest services where the Holy Ghost was so rich. It was unbelievable. Don't ever lose that, because if you lose it, you're going to be like all the other churches. You better hold on to it. Stay on fire for God, church. Well, Job was a righteous man. The devil couldn't doubt it. He loved his God and Savior. There was no doubt about it. Satan cursed his body from his feet to his head. Then he came and told him, Job, your children are dead. Well, Job's wife said, why don't you curse your God and die? But Job said, woman, you speak like a foolish child, because he ain't never, never done me nothing, ever done me nothing but good. Oh, yes, he ain't never, never done me nothing, ever done me nothing but good. Well, now history tells of Polycarp, a martyr for the gospel's sake. They built a fire all around him, and they tied him to the stake. The fire would not consume him, so they pierced him with a sword. His blood ran down, put out the fire, but still he praised the Lord. He said, all these years have served him. He's done me nothing but good. I won't repent. I won't recant. Please tell me why I should, because he ain't never, never done me nothing. Never done me nothing but good. Oh, he ain't never, never done me nothing. Never done me nothing but good. I gave my heart to Jesus. I took him as my Savior. I cast my lot with the chosen few. Then I started out for heaven. Soon I was forsaken. My friends left one by one. But the good Lord walked right along beside me. Never left me alone. He's fed me when I was hungry. He's cheered me when I was sad. He has been the dearest friend that I have ever had, because he ain't never, never done me nothing, never done me nothing but good. Oh, yes, he ain't never, when I was forsaken. Friends left one by one. See, the good Lord walked right along beside me and never left me alone. He's fed me when I was hungry. He's cheered me when I was sad. He has been the dearest friend that I have ever had, because He ain't never, never done me nothing, never done me nothing but good. Oh, He ain't never, never done me nothing, never done me nothing but good. Oh, history tells of Polycarp, a martyr for the gospel's sake. They built a fire around him and they tied him to that stake. The fire would not consume him, so they pierced him with a sword. His blood ran down, put out the fire. Still he praised the Lord. He said, all these years I've served him, He's done me nothing but good. I won't repent, I won't recant. Please tell me why I should, because He ain't never, never done me nothing, never done me nothing but good. Oh, He ain't never, never done me nothing, never done me nothing but good. Well, I gave my heart to Jesus, took Him as my Savior. I cast my lot with the chosen few, then I started out for heaven. Soon I was forsaken, friends left on my own. But the good Lord walked right along beside me, never left me alone. He's fed me when I was hungry. He's cheered me when I was sad. He has been the dearest friend that I've ever had, because He ain't never, never done me nothing, never done me nothing but good. Oh, He ain't never, never done me nothing, never done me nothing but good. Oh, yes, He ain't never, never done me nothing, never done me nothing but good. I said, He ain't never, never done me nothing, never.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Oh, glory to His name. Glory to His name, glory to His name. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 amen. Be reading tonight out of the book of 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, the 11th chapter, and I'm going to start with the 17th verse, and I'll skip over to the next chapter and read a verse or two there. And then, but this here is speaking of Rehoboam, who was the son of Solomon, the son of David. David, the man after God's own heart, and Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. And then Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. Rehoboam took over the kingdom, made some very unwise decisions because he listened to the young men instead of the older wise men that gave him counsel. And he made some very ignorant decisions and said some very harsh things that caused the people of Israel to split up. And the 10 tribes went to the north with Jeroboam. And then two tribes stayed with Rehoboam, who was Judah and Benjamin. They stayed there in Judah with him. And so the kingdom was divided. And we're going to go on down to verse 17, start here. Rehoboam had decided he was going to make war on Israel because what Jeroboam had done. And he gathered the people together, was going to go attack Jeroboam. And the prophet came and said, Shemaiah, the man of God told Rehoboam, this is God's doings. God's the one that done this. Leave it alone. And he listened. And the Bible says in verse 17, one more thing. Once he listened and did not attack Jeroboam, the 10 tribes, the Levites, once Jeroboam started bringing idolatry in the 10 tribes, the Levites and those that loved Jehovah left those 10 tribes and come down and live there in Judah with Rehoboam. And that's where we're going to pick up. It says, so they strengthened the kingdom of Judah, those that left the 10 tribes that hated the idolatry of Jeroboam and come down to Rehoboam. So they strengthened the kingdom of Judah and made Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, strong. 3 years. For 3 years, they walked in the way of David and Solomon. 3 years. Verse 1 of chapter 12. And it came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. Verse 14, speaking of Rehoboam again, and he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Amen. You may be seated tonight. That's the reading I'm going to do. Amen. Here for a little while. Amen. A tragic story here of a young man. Yes, he made some unwise decisions there when he was first handed the kingdom. But, amen, he walked in the way of David and Solomon. Amen. Once the kingdom had been split and he saw the error of his way, amen, he picked up the way of his grandfather David and of his father Solomon. And for 3 years, he served the Lord. But something happened. Something happened in the heart of Rehoboam. And once the kingdom got established, everything started running smoothly. Everything seemed going great for Rehoboam. He has strengthened himself. He was well established on his throne, that he forsook the law of the Lord. And when Rehoboam forsook the law of the Lord, all Israel forsook God with him. That's why, you know, it's so important, amen, for all of us to be careful, amen, what we do and where we go. Fathers, amen, must be careful, amen, the way they walk, because there are young people, children, following in their father's footsteps. Amen, walking behind their fathers. Amen, they say, and I don't know, amen, where these statistics come from, but they, amen, took some statistics and they say that, I'm talking about a home, if a mother goes to church, I believe it was 20% of her, it's 20% likely that her children will also attend church. But if a father attends the house of God, amen, it's 90% chance that his children will also attend the house of God. So it's very important for a father, leader of the home, the decisions he makes, the way he walks, the way he conducts himself, amen, he must be careful, for his children will most likely follow in his footsteps. Amen, you've heard Brother Savage say many times, amen, what a parent does in moderation, amen, the children will do in excess. Amen, and that's so true. I said so true. Amen, but for the grace of God, most of the time, amen, when a father a mother picks up things of the world, amen, and plays with things of the world, though they do not go to the extreme, amen, their children will. Amen, I said their children will. And we find Rehoboam here. Amen, he establishes his kingdom, and he forsakes the Lord. And why? Why did Rehoboam do this? And I believe verse 14 holds the key. It says, and he did evil. And it tells us why. The Holy Ghost lets us know why Rehoboam chose evil and the walk of evil and the way of evil, amen, rather than the way of David, his grandfather, amen. And he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. He prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Amen. Seeking the Lord, amen, takes preparation. Amen. You must prepare your heart to seek the Lord. Amen. The Bible says, they which run in a race, run all. I said, they which run in a race, you know, those that gear up for the marathons that they run, you know, at different times of the year, or whether it be the Olympics or something. Amen. 2 months, amen, before, you know, the marathon, you don't find them down there, amen, ordering a dozen donuts from Krispy Kreme. Amen. Why? Because that would not be preparing, amen, for the race that's set before them. Amen. If every morning they had 12 Krispy Kremes, amen, they wouldn't be ready for the marathon. Amen. They might get a little way out there, but about 100, 200 yards, amen, they'd be bent over, amen, and out of breath. Amen. But we must prepare our hearts, church, to seek the Lord. It takes preparation, amen, to seek after God. Amen. We cannot, amen, just be out just living our own life in the way we see things and think we can seek God, amen, at the same time. Amen. We must prepare our heart, keep our heart, amen, to seek after the Lord. Amen. Paul told the church there at the church of Galatians, he said, in verse 7 of chapter 5, he said, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Paul realized here it wasn't a what, but it was a who that hindered, amen, those there at Galatia. Amen. He said, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Amen. All it takes is a little to finally infect the whole. Amen. You know, there in the scriptures, leaven is a type of sin. Always you find in the Bible, leaven is a type of sin. Amen. That is why, amen, there in the Old Testament, amen, the Jews, when they ate the Passover and the bread, their bread was unleavened. Amen. Because it was a type of sin. Amen. About the time of Passover, they had to go through their whole house. They had to sweep every corner to make sure not even a little bit of leaven had fallen, a crumb of leaven had fallen in the corner. Amen. They had to rid their whole house, amen, of all leaven, because it is a type of sin. And the only way, amen, we're really going to be able to seek after the Lord, amen, is if we prepare our hearts and make sure there's no leaven. Amen. No sin. Amen. No bitterness. Amen. No worldliness. Amen. In our heart, if we're going to seek the Lord. But Rehoboam did not prepare. He did not make preparation to seek after God. And he did evil. I said he did not prepare. Amen. We can't prepare, church. Amen. Seeking after the world. And the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Amen. Amen. The Bible says, if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Amen. That's pretty strong there. But you know, a lot of people will say, well, I don't love the world. You know, I don't love it. You know, I like it. I like the things of the world, but I don't love it. I wouldn't go that far. Amen. But you know, the Bible also, amen, for those folks, it tightens it on down just a little bit. It said, ye adulterers and adulteress, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world, not a lover, amen, not someone just, not just those that love it, but just, I'm just a friend. I'm just a friend. Amen. But he said, whosoever will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Hey, oh, that should make, you know, the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. And when I read scriptures like this, amen, it makes my soul tremble knowing, oh, amen, not just those that love the world. Amen. People that love the world, they just go whole hog after it. After a while, they, you know, but it don't start with love. It just starts with friendship. Oh, I'm just his friend. I don't love him. I'm just his friend. Hey, man. Oh, yeah. Hey, yeah. Hey, man. There was out there, a couple out in Oklahoma there that, hey, man, went to our church. Hey, man, they had got saved pretty close to each other. And they started, you know, talking a little bit. And, of course, everybody, you know how it is. They tease them, you know. Oh, you know, she said, no, I don't like him. I don't even like him. No way, you know. And then the next week they'd go out on a date or go out somewhere and just eat. They wouldn't go on a date. They were just going out to eat together, you know. And everybody, no, I don't like him. I don't like, a week later, they'd already had marriage plans. They told her, we're getting married just here in a little bit. Hey, you know why? Hey, man, because it was friendship. That friendship turns into love after a while. Hey, man, we think we can befriend it, but we can't even befriend the world, because if we befriend it, hey, man, we'll turn out loving it. Hey, man, when I preach this down, hey, man, down at Richlands area, down at Raven here a couple, hey, man, weeks ago. Hey, man, I started talking to those young people there about the love for the world and how we can't have the love for the world. I went down through it. I'm not going to do it tonight. Hey, man, because that's what took up the hour. Hey, man. Hey, man. But I went down through Saul and how the Bible says that God gave Saul a new heart. Amen. But it wasn't too long. Amen. God withdrew his spirit from Saul. You know why? Because Saul got too big for his britches. Amen. The prophet said, go down and slay the Agites. Amen. All of them, Agag and all the, slay them all. So Saul went down there and he decided just to slay all the lame and all the bad cattle and all the sheep that wasn't, you know, the best. But he saved all the best and he brought it back. Amen. And then the prophet, God told Samuel what Saul had done. And Samuel went there and he said, what means this, the bleeding of sheep in my ears? Didn't I say slay them all? Oh, but I just saved the best for Jesus. I just saved it. No, he didn't say Jesus, but I'm saying Jesus for today. I didn't do it because I can use these things for God. Amen. I know we shouldn't have associations, amen, with the world, but I can take these things and use them to reach people for God. Amen. You can't take the world and reach people for God. God don't need the world. Amen. God don't need the devil's devices. Amen. God don't need the inventions of this world. Amen. To reach. Amen. That's what is not what reaches nor saves the lost. Amen. It's only the conviction of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Godly sorrow that brings repentance whereby men can be saved. Amen. Oh yes. Amen. We got a world that thinks, a church world that thinks, amen, we got to bring in things, you know, just driving over here, you know, amen, and going down the road, you'll see signs, contemporary service on some of these, you know, religious institutions. Contemporary worship at such and such time. Traditional worship at this time. You know why? Because, hey man, they have to use those things to try to pull in the world. Amen. Amen. But God's people don't need the world. Amen. Amen. You know, amen, these things using worldly pleasures has bled over even into the holiness church. And I got so disgusted. I go spend $10, $15 on a holiness CD, you know, put out by holiness people. And then I put it in there. And the first song sounds like I'm down at Hillbilly Junction. Okay. Doing the do-si-do. I said, all right, okay. You know, if I wanted to listen to that, I'd listen to Garth Brooks. But so maybe the next song. Flip it to the next song. And it sounded like, maybe that song was okay. Maybe that sounded like a church song. But it flipped it to the next song. And it had some kind of contemporary pop music with it. And they were singing, throw Jesus in there every now and then. But had that music, had that same beat that I listened to all the time when I wasn't saved. Same music, same stuff. Amen. So by the time I got to the fifth, sixth song, I was asking my wife for some Tums. And I'm not joking. I'm serious, man. I was feeling it. I don't think it was the bad biscuit I had. And I was listening to this. And I said, I turned it to the next song. And it get worse. And then they brought in some kind of jive. Amen. Into that. Amen. That had, you know, some crazy maneuvers in their singing where they fade back in the background and talk. Kind of like it reminds you of some kind of rap deal. All right. Or somebody talking or some kind of pop rock, the way they fade out and while they're singing, you hear these guys talking with all this kind of crazy music in the background. And I was disgusted. Amen. Time I got to the end of that CD, I knew I had wasted $15. Amen. But you know what? We tell our young people, stay away from the world. Stay away from the world's music. Amen. Stay away from those places of the world. But then, amen, we bring holiness CDs, you know, music CDs that these people produce, amen, and they bring in the world's music, amen, to try, amen, to sell CDs or whatever. They probably, some of them like it, amen. I get so disgusted. I get so disgusted because I'm going to tell you, when you add a taste of the world in with it, that taste is going to bring back that taste of that world. Amen. That little bit that they drop in there is going to bring back memories of what they used to do and what they used to listen to. I'm going to tell you, it brings those things back. As one preacher was saying that, God delivered him from alcohol. Amen. He'd been delivered for 30 years, never tasted a drop, never had a desire for it. And he was walking from his church, I think, to his house, I believe it was. And there was a beer can laying in the road. And, you know, he just went up to stomp it because he thought it was empty. Amen. But it wasn't. And when he stomped it, it split that thing and that thing spewed. And he said all that liquor, that alcohol hit him right in the face. And it just shocked him. That taste that he used to taste. It wasn't that he had a desire for that. But it's something about that taste of that liquor brought back those memories and that it just jolted him because he remembered that taste of the stuff. Amen. And when we bring into our homes, amen, music of the world that we tell our children to stay away from, I'm so disgusted with Southern gospel today. I'm so disgusted with it. I got rid of XM. I'm so disgusted with it. Amen. There for a while, Enlightened got so disgusting. I turn on Enlightened for a while, the Southern gospel, and then they come off with one of those honky-tonk Jesus songs. And I flip it over, whether Jesus and John Wayne or whatever you want to do there, you know. And then flip it over. Amen. And Jesus and John Wayne have nothing going on. You know, there ain't no nothing. There's nothing even close to alike. Amen. John Wayne's in his place and Jesus is up yonder. Amen. But But you know, songs like that and just different things and the music they're bringing in, the honky tonk music and all that stuff, the music of the world, pop music is going contemporary. So we flip over to the black gospel station there. Amen. And we listen to a good song. They have a black choir going on and singing real good. And then next is pooka, 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 pooka. And I got enough pooka, pooka. And then we turn it again. Turn back over to the Southern Gospel Station. They're still playing the same junk. Hey, man, but I'm going to tell you, hey, man, we're living in that world, hey, man, that is just hard to, hey, man, but when we bring it into our homes, if we're not careful, we go out and purchase those CDs and bring it to our home and giving it to our kids, hey, man, we're not preparing their heart when we bring in that music. I'm not talking about all Southern. I realize there's some, hey, man, but you got to be so careful. You got to pick and choose and be so careful, because if we bring those things into our home and are not careful, hey, man, we're not preparing our heart, amen, our children's hearts, nor our hearts to seek the Lord. Amen. But we're preparing their hearts to seek after the world. Amen. Amen. While I'm on the roll here, amen, went to, I don't have it, don't want it, ain't going to get it. Amen. But someone out in Oklahoma, and I might have said this here before, let us go on their Facebook there. You know, they let us go on there and look at these different people and, you know, see different people and on there. And you just surf around there, on there, with their friends and their friends. And went to this one preacher's wife in Northern Virginia. And there she has her favorite television shows. Holiness preacher's wife. Well, preacher's wife in Northern Virginia, and favorite television shows, favorite movies. I'm disgusted. Hey, man, go to someone else that, you know, and that's in the wholeness movement, and you go there and you find that their favorite television shows and all their movies. Hey, man, some of them that sing in our camp meetings today are very popular in the wholeness movement. Singers, you know, go to their favorite music, and you'll find people like Michael Bublé or Bublé or Bublé or whatever he is. Amen. Who is a Frank Sinatra, I think he'd say, wannabe. You know, he kind of sings that. But if Frank Sinatra was sin in 1940 when the wholeness preachers, Michael Bublé is still sin today, if y'all just want to know. Amen. Amen. Singing love songs and all. Hey, it's not of God. That's not the Jesus's Christ music. There's nothing Christian about it. And Christians have, I'm talking about preparing our hearts to seek the Lord. You can't listen to Bubbles. Amen. And then, amen, prepare and seek the Lord. Amen. Amen. Sometimes when we pray, or my wife prays, she'll turn on music. Amen. To pray by. Amen. You can't pray. If you can't pray listening to it, hey, man, you don't need to be listening to it. And if it's that, and you're praying to it, you better find out who you're praying to. Amen. Amen. But you find those things, and oh, so, I mean, so just, I mean, really, I got sick. I mean, and told Melissa, I don't even want to go in there no more and look around. And I wondered, why are all these people posting these sins? Amen. One holiness in a group, in a person out of a group in a holiness group, a singing group. Her boyfriend had posted on there his favorite saying, his favorite, I guess, yeah, saying or what a term. He said he loved the motto, hell bound and whiskey bent. That was his favorite. Amen. I'm talking about people in the holiness movement. Amen. They got on there and they just post their sins. They go on there and they post videos from off YouTube. And if your kid has it, then they, and their friends, they can post that video to their page there or wherever it comes up, and they can click on it and watch anything that their friends post up there. Talking about videos. I don't care if it's a rock and roll video or a clip off a television show or whatever it is. I'm talking about preparing our hearts to seek the Lord. Now, am I saying everybody that's on the thing sinning? No, but I'm going to tell you, it's awful hard, hey, man, to get on that thing and all that thing, that stuff that goes on there, all the gossiping stuff, and then get off there being prepared to seek the Lord. Hey, man. Hey, man. I want to tell you, even I myself, and I'm not saying I cut it out altogether, but I've tried. And but I've tried to even limit myself on how much news I follow and how much, political jargon and stuff I follow. And I used to breathe and eat that stuff. Amen. Back when I was in Bridgewater, amen, we get to talking and debating about, political issues and I could name off all the governors of all these states to these people and who's this and what they are and this, these guys didn't even know the governor of their own state. And I was so wrapped up in that stuff, but I found out that I was more interested in that than preparing my heart to seek the Lord. Hey, man, all I could think about is politics and Clinton and Bush or whatever, whoever it was, just all wrapped up in it. And I couldn't prepare my heart to seek the Lord from thinking about them and what the Democrats or what the Republicans are going to do. What's this one? And you know what? Ain't nothing changed since then. They're still doing the same old thing. All that worrying and all that debating and all that, listening, it didn't help me one lick a bit, and I didn't help them none. Amen. Amen. If I took the time I'd done that, amen, to prepare my heart to seek the Lord, amen, how much farther could I be with God? Amen. Amen. Now, like I say, sometimes I'll turn on and listen and see what's going on. Amen. But there's some of them I can't turn on. Amen, because all they want to do is cuss. Amen, getting a cussing fit. And how can I, be driving down the road and them a cussing and my kids in there or even me in there? Amen, one day I was listening to a certain political person I listened to a lot. Amen, they broke out in a cussing fit. Amen, and I reached on, turned off. I said, Lord, if you help me, I'll never listen to that individual again. I'm not going to tell you who it is. Amen, but listen. Hey, man, I wouldn't let them, we going to invite them in our home? We tell them not to bring the television in because you're bringing all that stuff in your home, and I believe that. Hey, man, but I'm not going to let them sit in my car and cuss to me. Hey, man, while I'm going down the road. Hey, man, I'm talking about preparing our hearts. Hey, man, to seek the Lord. Hey, man. Hey, man, it's very important, church. That's what Rehoboam failed to do. Hey, man, he got established. He got everything set up, everything going good, and he didn't prepare his heart. Amen, to seek the Lord. Amen, that's why. Amen, there's places. Amen, I don't take my boys. Amen, because I'm trying to prepare their hearts to seek the Lord. Amen, that's why my boys can tell you that Daddy and Mama has never turned on the television. Amen, when we've stayed in the motel, they can never remember Daddy or Mama ever turned on the television. Amen, when we stayed the night in the motel. You know why? Because I'm trying to prepare their hearts to seek the Lord. And I don't say that boasting, but I'm talking about, amen, amen, we got to prepare our children's hearts, because what we do in moderation, our children will run hog wild after. Amen. And not only do we need to prepare our hearts, amen, but we as parents are preparing their hearts. Oh, yes. Amen. We're living in a world that's out to destroy us, our children. There's a devil. Hey, man, that his one goal is to take, hey, man, everyone he can to a devil's hell. He knows that's his ultimate destination. And that's where, and he knows he can never dethrone God, and he can never exalt himself up to even be equal with God. And God cast him out. So the only way he can get back at God is to take everyone that is made in God's image to hell with him. That's the only way he can get at God. He can't get there. He can't pull God down. Amen. But if he can take everyone that was made in his image to hell, amen, that's just a slap in the face of God. Amen, church. Amen. Rehoboam did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Preparation. We make preparation for things. Amen. Every day we live, we're preparing. We're preparing to, before you, the ladies, they make the meal. They get all the ingredients together and prepare to make that meal, to prepare that meal. Amen. And so every day and every deed that we do, we are making preparation either to seek the Lord or to do evil. Every decision we make, everything we allow to go in our ears, everything we allow our eyes to see and look upon, we're preparing our heart for one or two things: to do evil or to seek the Lord. Amen. Every word we say. Amen. Amen. Every person, amen, that we allow ourselves to buddy with. Amen. We are preparing ourselves. Amen. To do evil or seek the Lord. The Bible says evil communications. Amen. Corrupt good manners. Amen. That word there, communications, means associations. Amen. And when we, amen, who we associate with, amen, what we do, amen, we're preparing our children and our own souls, amen, to seek the Lord or to do evil. You know, and the way many in our, and y'all know, y'all see, nobody's blind. I've had people to say to me, what in the world is wrong with people? I mean, what in the world? Are they losing their minds? And my answer is, yeah, they're losing their minds. Hey, man, somebody just bit the dust. I was good. But they're, they must be ready for the caboose. But you know, I told somebody, I've probably been to 5 Christian weddings in my lifetime. 5 Christian weddings. You know why? Because it blows my mind. Amen. How that people, amen, when they get married in holiness churches, that they can bring country music songs and play them over the deals, whether it's on tape, pop rock songs, and play them over. They would never dare bring those things in the house of God any other time. But for some reason on their wedding day, they think they can bring country music, love songs, and pop love songs into the house of God. Hey, man, it's not Christian. Hey, man, so if anything that's not Christian, or any music that's not Christian that's added to it, hey, man, it de-Christianizes the whole deal. Christ-like, a wedding that is Christian is Christ-like. You bring the world into it, it no longer becomes Christ-like. And I was telling people that. Been very few weddings I've ever been to. I don't understand, amen, why people think, amen, that one day out of their lifetime, amen, that they can bring things. But I'm talking about preparing our hearts. You know why our young people can do that today? Can bring filth, ungodly. I'm going to tell you, all of it's filthy and ungodly. It's not put out by Christians. Amen. Not even people that even, most of them don't even profess to be Christians. And why can we bring those things in the house of God and not feel bad about it? Because we have not prepared our heart to seek the Lord. Amen. If we prepared our heart, amen, we wouldn't bring those things even in one day of the year. Amen. And I want to know how they even know the songs in the first place. Amen. What they've been listening to. That tells me what's on the radio out in the car. Amen. When they're willing to walk right up in the house of God. Amen. And play it over the speaker system that one time out of the year. Amen. I'm against it. 100. I believe it's sin. I believe it's sin. I was at a wedding not too long ago, several months ago. And lo and behold, if old Bubbles wasn't singing, amen, one of the songs. I was disgusted. Amen. Why? Because those young people had not prepared their heart to seek the Lord. Amen. I'd rather sing Amazing Grace at my wedding, amen, than, amen, something like that and defile the house of God. That's just my little rabbit trail right there. Y'all forgive me there. Amen. But, amen, he did evil, and I'm about done here. Amen. Because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. So what do we do? I talked about all those things that are preparing to do evil. What we need to do? Amen. We need to set aside time every day. Amen. Amen. Get on our knees and ask God to search us and to see if there's any wicked way in us. Any desire. Anytime we even feel an inkling of a desire, a draw toward this world, we need to pray that God would help us to recognize that. Amen. And fall on our face and say, God, amen, that is not of you. Amen. That pull for this world and the things of this world. Amen. I was talking to the Sunday school class a little while. Amen. This morning we were talking about the Sunday school lesson was on holiness and living right and practical holiness and living holy. Amen. In this ungodly world, and talking to them about that, and it said in there, holiness is not, amen, an option. Amen. It is a necessity. If we're going to make it to God's heaven, amen, we will have to be holy. Holy. The word holy means free from sin. Amen. Amen. And if we're going to make it to God's heaven, amen, we're going to have to be free from sin. Amen. That's the Bible. Amen. The Bible says, but now being made free from sin. Who's Paul talking there in chapter 6 of Romans? To the church. And now being made free from sin. That's God's people. Amen. Church. Amen. We're going to have to prepare our hearts to seek the Lord. How do we do that? Amen. We make sure everything we listen to. Amen. Everything we put on that radio. Amen. Every song we listen to. It's something that pointing our children and our souls to Jesus. If we can't worship with it, we don't need to listen to it. I said, if we can't worship with it, we don't need to listen to it. I told somebody here just recently. And if you do, I'm not jumping on you. But I'm going to tell you why I don't. And I've probably said this before. I told here somebody recently, I do not go to gospel singings. Why? Because I'm preparing my children's heart to seek the Lord. All right? When she gets up there in all her mascara and earrings and starts speaking in a Hyundai Ronda and say, "Woo! Don't you feel Jesus?" And the mascara's running. And my little boys are standing there and they're seeing this. And they're saying, "Wait a minute, Daddy, I thought that was sin. I thought all that jewelry and all that makeup and all those mini skirts and all those things and the women up there in slacks, I thought that was an abomination to God." But she's up there feeling Jesus and the Spirit of God's moving. And deceptive spirits will get on my kids and I'm not preparing their hearts to seek the Lord. That's why I don't go. Amen. I could go there and know there was just a bunch of cards, you know. Amen. They're just a bunch of put-ons. But I can't stand to torture myself with it. Because I want to get up there and take a text. Now, there was a place I was not too long ago, and some of y'all were there. And I said, I need to take a text right now. Amen. Because you ain't going to get no salty dog walking on the streets of glory. But anyway, some of y'all will realize. But if you don't know, you don't need to know. But anyway... Amen. But I'm going to tell you, preparing our children's hearts to seek the Lord. Preparing our hearts to seek the Lord. Amen. It's going to take an everyday preparation. Amen. Every day of our life, every day we wake up, we've got to make a decision. Today I'm going to prepare my heart to seek the Lord. Amen. When we go to town, amen, we've got to make a decision today. Everything I do, I want to prepare my heart to seek after God. Amen. Every day, amen, before we lay down at night, we need to prepare our heart to seek the Lord. Amen. We got to prepare our children's hearts. Amen. We've got to be careful every decision we make. Amen. It can have eternal consequences. Amen. But Rehoboam, amen, prepared, amen, not his heart to seek the Lord. And so he done evil. He had a great grandfather. Oh, what a grandfather. Did David make some terrible mistakes? Sins. Yes, he did. But he also was a great repenter. Amen. He was serious about repenting. And when he repented, he wasn't out there the next day doing it again. Amen. He repented. He was a man after God's own heart. Amen. When that preacher stuck his bony finger in his face and said, "Thou art the man," the hackles didn't stand on the back of David's head. David could have had that prophet's head sliced right off, amen, of his neck, but he didn't. He fell down and said, "I've sinned against God." Amen, church. Amen. I want to be like David. Amen. And prepare my heart to seek the Lord. There's a lot of things out there. You can't get up here and name everything. I told church last week, I was preaching down to Bilton. I told them this, and I probably told y'all this before. And, amen. I told them, the Bible says, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not. Not ye might not. Not ye may not. Maybe not. No. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's an emphatic statement there. If you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not sin. It's when people stop walking in the Spirit that they sin. And I'm going to tell you why we need to walk in the Spirit. Because sometimes when we go to do something, we're not going to have a verse right there in the top of our head why we shouldn't do that. But that Spirit of God that's in us will check us and will say, wait a minute, something's not right about this. No, on the surface, I can't see anything wrong with it. I mean, it looks clean, wholesome. But the Spirit of God that knows the end from the beginning knows there's something in that, something deep down that I cannot see, amen, that will have eternal consequences, amen, if I continue. That's why we must walk in the Spirit. Because Brother Savage is not going to get up here and name everything you're doing. I said, Brother Savage can't get up here and name everything you're doing because sometimes he'd take all night long. Hey, Matt. I didn't hear no amens, but amen anyhow. Amen myself. Hey, man. But listen, but if we walk in the Spirit, if we'll get in the Spirit, amen, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. We'll be checked by that. We'll say, wait a minute. Well, I don't know the verse. I can't quote you scripture and verse right now. It's in there. Principle or precept. It's in. But there's something just not right about this. And the Spirit of God will check you. And your kids say, well, why, Daddy? Why, Mom? Why can't we do this? Hey, man, well, son, I just don't feel there's something just not right about it. You give me some time. You let me pray about it. Hey, man, you give me some time, and I'll have you an answer, and I'll have you a verse why there's something just not right. You know why? Because if we walk in the Spirit. But it's when we trust in our own heart. And when we say, well, I feel in my heart, there's nothing wrong with it. Brother Leon Buzzard quoted a scripture to a man that come up to him and said, I feel in my heart, there's nothing wrong with television, brother. Brother Leon Buzzard, and some of you know him, he looked at him and said, well, the Bible says the man that trusteth his own heart's a fool. Well, I don't know how that flew that day, but he just said it anyhow. You can't go by how you feel in your heart. You got to go about what the Spirit of God, amen, has to say. I want to walk in the Spirit. Amen. I want to prepare my heart to seek after God. Let's all stand tonight. Amen. Oh, amen. It's a close walk. One lady out in Oklahoma, the church we went to, very godly lady, a praying lady. Every morning between 8 and 9 o'clock or so, she was there at the church, her and the pastor's wife, and they were in there praying every morning. But she'd come up to me every now and then. She'd say, Brother Ben, it's a close walk, ain't it? It's a close walk. I say, yes, sister. It's a close walk. And it is tonight, church. Amen. The Bible says this is a narrow way. Amen. The gate is straight. And few be there that find it. It's not saying a lot ain't seeking it. Because it said many seek to enter in thereat. But few be there that find it. You know why? Because they're not preparing their hearts to seek after the Lord. Amen. They're not preparing. Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your word. Amen. That's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And we know, God, that we cannot stray, Lord, as long as we're led by your word and your Spirit, O God. Lord Jesus, help us to prepare our hearts every day to seek the Lord. For, Lord, we too are capable of taking the path that Rehoboam took and do evil. But, God, it's not your will that any of us here should perish. Lord God, we ask you that you'd help us every day to take these things seriously, to see beyond the external. Lord God, give a spiritual vision to see beyond the external. And Lord God, see things as you see them. Lord Jesus, we need your Spirit to lead and guide us and direct us, God. For truly this is the last day, perilous times. Great deceptions, deceiving spirits, and doctrines of devils on every hand. But God, if we'll be led by your Spirit and we'll walk in your Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And we praise you and give you honor and glory. Let's all gather in the altar tonight if we would. Spend time and pray. Amen. Search your heart tonight. And let's all tonight prepare our hearts to seek the Lord.